Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. It's episode 73. Rebecca Nash is our guest today, a bright light among jazz musicians of her generation. Rebecca is active as a performer, arranger, composer, educator. She needs her own originals project, Atlas, which features Nick Malcolm on the trumpet, Tom Seminar-Ford on guitar, Chris Spapp on the bass, and Matt Fisher on the drums. The band are set to record their debut album later this year. But before we talk to Rebecca, I've got two preview tracks from this new Atlas album to play you right now. Rebecca Nash, welcome to the Jazz Podcast.
Thank you, Rob. I'm very excited to be here.
Yes, we're excited to have you. Tell us about Atlas, because I've just played some at the start of this show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Atlas is comprised of a bunch of different musicians from, it's really cool actually, they kind of span all the three cities that I've mainly lived in, which is I'm from Bristol and lived in London for a long time, and then more recently moved up to Birmingham. So the chap from Bristol is a wonderful trumpet player called Nick Malcolm. Mm. I don't know if you've come across him at all.
No, I haven't.
He's amazing, and he's got a fabulous project himself called Jade, which you should definitely do a podcast about that.
Cool.
So, yeah, Nick Malcolm, and then I studied at Trinity College of Music and also at Royal Welsh with a drummer called Matt Fisher.
Yeah.
And he obviously plays in Entropy too, and still lives in London. So he's the drummer for that project. And when we moved up to Birmingham in 2014, I was introduced to Chris Mapp, who is the bass player for Atlas, and also Tom Seminar-Ford, who's a fantastic guitarist. And Tom sort of was a slightly later addition to the band, as it were. He sort of joined it in the last sort of year and a half. And since he joined, it feels like more of a really cohesive sound. And it was sort of, yeah, it feels great. It's great to play with those guys. And then from time to time, on the album that we're about to release, we're going to be joined by some special guests, of which I can't, well, Sarah Coleman, who I've been working with recently, is going to be featuring on that and writing some music for it as well.
Oh, amazing.
So that is us.
Great. I've forgotten now, in my excitement, whether I ever covered the fact that you play the piano. So I just want to throw that out there now before it gets too far into the show.
Yes, I am. Yeah, a bit
smooth. What made you decide to play the piano in the first place? Can you remember?
I actually can't remember. I was quite young when I started lessons, and I think it was just, I was very lucky. I had two very musical parents. My father was a classical viola player, and my mum is she's a singer. Both very different musicians, but both of them were obsessed with music. And I think we had a lovely piano in the house, and also there was a brilliant, well, she still is actually brilliant, piano teacher living in Bristol called Kate Miller, who was an amazing woman from New Zealand and has taught some of the most insane piano players in the country. And she just happened to be living in Bristol, so my dad was obviously going to send me to her. And I think something just clicked, but I started lessons when I was about 3 or 4, so I can't really remember what it was about the piano. I think maybe it's one of the instruments that just, you can instantly get a good sound out of it rather than the violin, which I was forced to play. And yeah, I didn't come as naturally. So no. I obviously gave it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that was that was how I kind of began. And
how long did you play that violin for before you gave it back?
Before I gave it up?
Yeah.
I just basically did hash my way through some terrible school orchestras on it. And I still love it. I just don't touch it.
Yeah.
But I think I was about 18. Basically, I gave it up when I went to study. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I do sometimes think, oh, maybe I'll get it out again at some point. And there's some... Oh, yeah. No, I probably won't. Well, to be honest.
I'd like to think
that I would, but I probably won't. Anyway.
I have a feeling that things that you know, if you played it really young, maybe you'll have a much bigger advantage for your childhood memories for getting it back again.
I don't know. I also think that I thought I was better than I was.
Oh, yeah, I still feel that about myself.
That's actually not my personality, but I think I just... I don't know, it's obviously been so long that I could, you know, since I played the violin, that I think in my mind that I was somehow more, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not very good at it. That's the end of that.
That's the end. All right, moving swiftly on.
Yeah.
So you did an undergrad at the Royal Welsh College.
I did, yeah.
What did you study?
That was in jazz.
Right.
So I did the undergrad jazz BMAS there.
Yes.
And then went to Trinity to do the... Masters. So that was about 2000. Oh, it's quite a long time ago now. 2003, I think it was, that I went to college in Wales, and then went off to Trinity in 2008 or 2009. Yeah. But yeah, I had a brilliant time. Actually, I had a little listen to your podcast with Alice Leggett, because I was like, I should just thought I'd better prep myself for some questions and the sort of things that you might ask me.
Yeah.
But it did take me back a bit hearing her podcast. And actually, we just did it randomly. We did a gig for the first time in Brecon about 2 weeks ago for the Brecon Jazz Festival.
Oh, nice.
Which was really nice. It was really nice to meet her properly.
Alice is younger than you?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I don't like to admit it, but she probably is quite a lot younger than me.
No, I didn't mean to bring it up that way. That was tasteless. I'm just trying to get a map in my brain of what's going on.
But I graduated about 6 years ago from Trinity.
What year did you graduate?
It was 2011.
Ah, so we would have been in London studying at the same time.
Yeah, which is why I think I must have met you somewhere.
Yeah, let's just assume that we did, and it went really well.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
I'm
great.
Fine with that. yeah.
So why... how do you know when you're so young that you wanted to study jazz?
I don't know if I did know, actually, if I'm totally honest. Do you mean like at 18? Sort of
exactly. Like when you were at school, was there anything else that you wanted to do?
Yeah, I didn't. It was weird, actually. I didn't do music A level because there wasn't, at the time, I think I was just, because I'd been playing classical music for quite a long time, and I was sort of, I wasn't so interested in that genre at the time. So I actually decided to do French art and English A level, and when I finished, I went through this sort of, as I'm sure lots of people do, I just wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, if I wanted to do art, or I worked in a sort of thought I wanted to go into catering. I really was unclear, and I didn't want to go to uni until I was absolutely 100% sure. So the way I made my decision was actually when I kind of asked myself, I was like, what's the one thing? I can't figure out exactly what I want to do. Mm-hmm. What's the one thing that I'm going to regret not doing?
Oh, and I like that.
And it was definitely music. But I think I was just quite naive. I thought that I would just be able to kind of gig a bit in Bristol and everything will fall into place. And actually, I realised, no, that's ridiculous and I need to go and get some proper training.
So did you have a year out then in Bristol?
I had several years out.
Right, okay.
Three years out. So I went to college a little bit older.
Yeah.
And for my audition, I really didn't know what I was doing at all, Rob, at that time. Yeah. And I played a piece of Prokofiev. I mean, who does that for a jazz undergrad now? Ridiculous. And also Billy Joel.
Cool. That's really, and what was the panel's reaction? Because they probably nobody else played Prokofiev.
I don't know. I think the thing is, the course at that time was just slightly young. It was a younger course.
Yeah.
And they just, I think they realised I could play by ear.
Yeah.
And I think it was more of that I didn't quite, I'm not sure if the audition requirements are really clear. And I had been playing jazz before that, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But for some reason I thought that, I think I was trying to play something technically dazzling. Okay. And yeah, also something soulful. And thankfully, Paula Gardner saw past it. So I was a complete novice, though, when I went to college. I said, didn't really know anything at all.
But you're supposed to be. How else are you going to learn anything?
Well, indeed. Yeah.
Cool.
Unless you are kind of, I think it's kind of normal, I'm hoping it's normal not to just be solely into one thing in life. Yes. It's quite it's a big decision to make, isn't it? What you're going to do with the rest of your life, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you knew that you had several shots at it, you could try all kinds of wonderful things.
Yeah, I'd love to have 10 lives at once now and to do.
Okay. What would you do in your maybe?
What else would I do now?
No, I mean, if you've got like 10 simultaneous lives, you know.
Well, I think I thought I wanted to work in interior design. I thought I wanted to do something with languages, something with art. Now I'd probably consider working a bit harder for my A-levels and earning, going for a higher paid job.
Oh, I like that. That's wonderful life advice.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of very sensible jazz musicians out there these days that seem to do two things at once.
And, yes, proper jobs.
For want of a better description. Exactly. Like super overachieving and very inspiring. I'm sure you know some of them.
Yes, I've got some that I was just thinking whether I should bring them up or not.
Yeah. No, I've got...
Yeah, give us an example. I'd be very curious.
I don't know. Well, I don't know if I should. I don't know. Maybe think I shouldn't bring them up. But I'm going to because I think it's really amazing. But do you know Will Harris?
No.
He's graduated from the Academy very recently, maybe last year or 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, I'm too old to know him.
Okay. Well, he's fab. He's fab, but he's also just happens to be a doctor as well. And
wow! How can you be a doctor and then go on a jazz course?
I don't know. He's just a total monster. He's absolutely brilliant musician.
After your undergrad at the Welsh College, then what... Mm-hmm. Did you always want to move to London for when you studied at Trinity?
I did, yeah. I think I really wanted to study with Simon Purcell and... going to Trinity gave me sort of a different approach to my studying and practice, which sort of was a really nice contrast to what I'd had at Welsh College. And I've still got a million things that I need to do and get together. So It was great. I loved living in London. It was hard for me to leave. And
whereabouts did you live when you were living here?
Well, I was southeast, right, alongside all my fellow. Most people were southeast, I think, but I was down in Greenwich for a year, and then near London Bridge for about another 4 or 5 years after that. It was great. It was wicked. I lived with Dee.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And Matt Fisher for a long time, who is like a brother.
Yeah.
And lovely singer called Alison Beck. He went to Guildhall, and it was great. It was great.
You live in Birmingham now?
Well, I don't actually. I live in Bristol. Well, I'm kind of split a little bit between Bristol and Birmingham.
Did you ever live in Birmingham?
Yeah, I did. I lived full time up there from 2014 till last year, and then moved back to Bristol. But it's kind of, I'm still very much split between the two, because I do a bit of teaching at the conservatoire there now. And
cool. That's awesome. What a cool.
Yeah.
How did you get into doing that?
Well, I know Jeremy Price well, and he asked me to do a module last year, so I was just really happy to take that on. And
That's ace. What's the module that you teach?
It's like a harmony keyboard proficiency module for the first years.
Yeah,
which is it's a roast actually. It's
I bet it is. It sounds amazing, but
it's a race for everyone, including myself. But that's been really nice, and then just bits and bobs of other teaching there, and I also work from time to time for Jazz Lines, who are brilliant and run lots of fantastic projects at Symphony Hall mainly. My other half teaches there as well.
The syllabus that you're teaching, is that all set in stone? Like, here's what I want the kids to learn, off you go.
It is a very specific thing that ties in with some of the other modules. So, I don't know if it's, I'm sure there's, like all courses, they have to be rewritten from time to time.
Yeah.
So there's room for flexibility, but... Okay. It's really good, actually.
How's it feel? Like, I mean, I just can't imagine, like, you know, I don't know, first years now, it must look so young and fresh.
They do, and I still feel exactly the same age, which is weird.
Oh, cool.
But actually, I realise, obviously in the way that we all feel 10 in our head, or I do anyway, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But, they're amazing. They're an amazing bunch of students there, actually, and super, super talented. And, I feel very lucky to work with them.
It's really rare to talk to a musician who's moved as much as you have. You might be in a position to have set a UK record in the last 10 years for the number of places you've been based.
I don't know. I was really... It took me a minute to get used to living in Birmingham, just because it was a decision that was, it wasn't me. I wasn't moving from my full-time job, as it were. But actually, I think there's a lot of people moving out of London now. Yeah. And I was really worried about it for a long time. And actually, I just found that my whole world, it didn't open up, as it were, but it just, actually, Birmingham is an hour and 20 minutes on the train. It's kind of almost the same time it takes to get from one side of London to the other. And Bristol is, it kind of doesn't matter, I think, once you've got a really fantastic network of musicians that you play with and friends. It's actually everyone.
Yeah.
It is a cliche, but it is just one big, I don't know. I feel that all the guys up in Manchester, if we met you're up in Manchester, right? And the guys up in Manchester, it just, I just feel like the UK is just,
yeah, it's pretty small.
No, it's that far, really.
Yeah, it's pretty small. Is it hard to find work in, like, if you've moved to, like, when you went to Birmingham? I don't know. I'd love to move around more, but I feel like it would take me years to build up my work again to a point where I felt it was worth having moved.
Yeah.
It seems like a really hard thing to do.
I think it is. Yeah. I mean, when I first moved there, I was still commuting back to London to teach every week. And I had a teaching job that was just north of London in Buckinghamshire. So I was still, that was kind of my main job, as it were.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't really relying on Birmingham. It wasn't like I just gave everything up and moved there,
yeah,
and then was starting again. In fact, that never really happened. It just, everything just expanded a bit,
right,
if you see what I mean. So I think, yeah, it'd be really hard if you just kind of cut all your ties with one place. But it doesn't really happen like that, I don't think. Well, that was my experience anyway. Yeah.
No, that's good to know. I feel freer already. You know, London's just so expensive.
Where are you from, Rob?
I'm from Manchester.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, so I went to the Royal Northern and did a four-year undergrad there before I moved to London. So,
every time I go to Manchester, I'm like, oh, this is so brilliant here.
And oh, it is. It's wonderful. And it's a wonderful city. That's why I was there, you know, for the jazz festival. We've started to go every year because it's just such a lovely place to hang out for a week.
It is a great hang, isn't it?
Yeah.
So do you know Nick Walters?
No.
I think he went to Royal Northern.
Okay.
And I was playing with him up at the festival as well this year, but I just thought maybe you guys would know each other.
Yes. I don't know how not, maybe, yeah, but I don't know him. It's a disaster for me.
But no, every time I go to Manchester, I'm just like, wow, there's just so many amazing musicians living there. And
yeah, there are. There's a lot of, I mean, like, you know, Mike Walker and Steve Berry, Ian Dixon, Les Chisnall. It's like a little hall of fame of guys that are just hiding out. But I lived there for 12 years, right in the middle, you know, and as wonderful as that was, I go back, and for a week it's wonderful, but I feel bored very quickly. Like, right, if I moved again, I'd much rather move somewhere new again. I'd never want to move back to Manchester now, because it's just been too many. It was wonderful, but I don't know. I'd feel like I've gone, I don't know.
Back. Do you feel? Yeah. That's, I had that sort of feeling. I thought for some reason when we moved back to Bristol, my hometown, that I was going to regress and become about, like, the worst part of my teenage self.
Wow, that's really interesting.
It's just like a completely irrational fear.
No, that's exactly how I feel in Manchester. Like, I panic, like, oh God, I never left. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, as if, like, my degrees are going to evaporate, you know?
Yeah.
I'm actually still 16.
I know. That's exactly how I felt, and it was a genuine feeling for a few weeks, and then I realised that, of course, that's ridiculous and completely irrational, and it's fine.
Yeah.
And actually, just putting it out there, but it would be fine, Rob.
Yeah,
it would be fine.
Okay, cool. I'm going to relax a little bit. So I saw you in the Sarah Coleman band.
Yeah.
At that Manchester Jazz Festival. How did you get involved in that?
So Sarah is, amazingly, Sarah's also from Bristol and teaches at Birmingham. And our paths didn't cross though until we moved there. So it was, it was wonderful to meet her, and she's since become a really, fantastic friend. And, we just met through, I think she actually asked me to do a Women in Jazz thing for Jazz Lines.
Right. What's Jazz Lines? Just fill me in on that.
So they're the, they promote jazz at Symphony Hornets, sort of spearheaded by Tony Dudley Evans and Mary Wakelam, and yeah, it's a bunch of amazing people that work for Jazz Lines. But so yeah, I met Sarah through them, and then we just became really good friends, and then obviously ended up sort of transpired that we were just really into the same music, and ended up yeah just doing playing together a lot, and I wrote a tune for her album, and that's just about to be released on Stony Lane in September, and she's writing some stuff for mine, which is fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to gigging it all a lot more. But that project in itself is such a special project, and do you know Jonathan Silk?
Yes, I know him very well.
See, yeah, he's amazing, John Silkenstein, as we call him. But so he wrote some beautiful strings for that project, and
because he plays in that band as well.
Yeah,
and his album Fragment. Sorry, I'm filling this in for the listeners, not you. lecturing you about your own friends.
No, fill it in for me. I probably don't.
Fragment. He'd won some kind of. There was some kind of funding situation where he was going to see Vince Mendoza, who's like, you know, the king of orchestration. And Vince was like the mentor who was helping him to learn about how to orchestrate, because his album was Big Band and Strings, which I will say that I am playing on, seeing as we're talking about it.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, which is how I met him, which was really cool. And then I found out he was like getting all these lessons. So then I could like, you know, gloat to my mum basically that I'd kind of played with, like, not with Vince Mendoza, but with this guy that's met Vince. Does that count for anything?
Absolutely yes. Counts for yes. A lot.
So he's now, of course, a wonderful orchestrator in his own right. So
yeah, he's amazing. And his string writing on that album is really beautiful. And we had the quartet called the Carducci Quartet came and played on it. It was just, sublime. Yeah. So, yes, what else to say about that project? Yeah, Sarah's an amazing songwriter, and feels like she's a sort of current working, I feel like I'm kind of working with the current, but well, not version of Joni Mitchell. She is her own self, but it's just, that sort of it just feels really unique, that project.
Yes.
And so it's great. And
can we talk about Atlas again?
We can.
Like, we've gone full circle from the start to the end.
Sure.
When did this project start? That's the question.
Probably not long after we moved to Birmingham, about 2014.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of hoping to have the album finished by the beginning of the autumn and kind of together, and then we're going to release it later on this year on Stony Lane Records.
So you've recorded it already?
No, well, it's sort of in its final throes, so there's still lots to be done on it, but we're getting there.
So when you say lots to be done, are you doing some overdubs or some tracks that aren't finished yet?
So I'm hoping that Nick, it's really nice because I feel like I suppose it's the same with all musicians, but I feel like all the projects that I work with, they kind of somehow blend into one in a way. So that's actually rubbish. I'll just ignore what I just said. But what I will say is...
I'll just beep over that whole sentence.
Yeah, I'm going to have to beep over lots, I'm sure. But Nick Walters, who is this trumpeter that I thought you might know from Manchester.
Yes.
Well, he studied in Manchester. He is going to help with adding some extra bits and bobs to it. And yes. Some of the songs still need to be written,
right,
and bits need to be recorded. So it's not quite there, but it's not far off.
Yeah.
But I've just stopped putting pressure on myself with that project for it to be done in like 2 days. You know, you go with some albums, I've just kind of gone into the studio and they've just gone in and done it, and that's it. And actually, I've just realised with this project, as I've kind of gone along, and having recorded Sarah's album, that actually I didn't want to do it in that way.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're not far off, put it that way, Rob.
Oh. So before we get out of here, tell me about what are your favourite hobbies?
My favourite hobbies?
If you have to, like, put the piano down for a day.
Oh, classic.
Yeah, classic.
Well, I endeavour to exercise.
Excellent.
That is it.
Enjoyed how you put that.
That is a sort of higher self hobby and happens from time to time. And also, sometimes I just think, oh, I want to go to India and become a yoga instructor and do that. But anyway, no, what are my hobbies?
This is a real window in itself into your musician's brain.
What? But, there's nothing else in my head.
Now it's silent.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, In reality, I don't have time for loads and loads of extra things. I feel very lucky to have a wonderful bunch of amazing friends and family. And I don't know. If I had to pinpoint one thing, I love hill walking.
Oh, nice. There we go.
I love the outdoors. So if I have any extra, you know, any significant amount of time, then getting out in the sticks is a favourite pastime. And actually, before the Brecon Jazz Festival gig, I perhaps made an error in dragging myself up Penifan, which is one of the beacons before our concert, and then completely wiped out my legs. But I would say that is a hobby.
Oh, fabulous.
And what is it about the word hobbies that make people go blank?
Yeah, I guess it's just being put on the spot like that, you know.
I know something about the word hobby.
There's probably a more creative way to ask that question, like, if you were going to take me to the cinema, what would we watch?
Yeah.
What would we watch, by the way?
Oh, okay. What, current right now?
Oh, it doesn't have to be current. Some kind of awesome cinema in which all films are being shown.
I tell you what, I was having a clear out last night and came across a poster. Remember when people had posters for films?
Yeah.
When you were a teenager? And they were
like $3.99 and it felt like a great deal.
Yeah. Of this epic film called True Romance, which sounds like a kind of rom-com, but it is a rom-com, but it's also a fantastic Tarantino film.
Oh, cool.
If you haven't seen that, definitely watch it. It's got Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette, and it's amazing. Brilliant. Yeah, check it out, Rob.
Well, a great tip to end on. I'm going to go do some homework. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca, for coming on the Jazz Podcast.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Forgot to promote at any point in the show that we'd passed that 20,000 plays. So if you're still listening, 40 minutes in, thanks for tipping us over. It's been a very enjoyable year and a half. So
nice one, Rob. Nice one.
All right. Well, yeah. So thanks. And we'll look out for the Atlas album launch, because we all want to hear it.
Cool. Beautiful. Please come.
Yeah, we will. Wherever all it right. is, especially if especially if it's in Manchester.
Brilliant.
All right. Awesome. Well, we'll speak to you
Mega
soon.
Mega, Rob. Okay.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Jazz Podcast. Now, as promised, that second Atlas track. We'll see you on Friday.